And you are listening to the Expensive Wrestling Show, FW Live, here on Podbean. My name is Patrick. With me, Danny Danger, as always. Danny, how the heck are you?
Well, you know, we took a week break because you were sick last week. I was sick over the weekend. So hopefully we're both... both feeling much better and up to par and ready to talk some wrestling now.
Yeah, I mean, I was born ready.
Always ready with a Z.
Well, my last name ends with a Z, so I'm a woman, so why not?
Yeah, it's more like Cardona and his thing is kind of what I was referencing.
Yeah, I know. But still.
Remember when he made his own pay-per-view and then he couldn't wrestle on it? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know. Indeed. Yeah, I mean, Mika's not going to be here probably. I don't know about Eric. Have you heard from him?
He just pulled up in the group chat a couple minutes ago, so he's probably wondering where we are, and hopefully we'll be here in a minute.
Well, we can talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Sure, yeah.
Quite
World Tag, World Tag League just wrapped up. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a pair of champions
in the finals. Well, and so okay, so to be perfectly honest, of the four semifinalists, those were kind of the two teams that I was kind of like least interested in going to the finals. You know, partially because they are the champions already. Mm-hmm. You know, I was hoping that the world, you know, and yet again, in the past, the World Tag League has elevated, you know, a top contender or, you know, somebody up to that status. You know, I thought that the War Dogs would be, had proven that they could be a good, you know, heel adversary. TMDK, I mean... They talk about it on commentary that they're essentially they call them the best team that's never held the IWGPs. Mm-hmm. So I thought this would be, you know, their final, you know, their opportunity on the big stage, you know. So you got the champions, yeah. I mean, and they fought once in the block, and the strong openweight champions won in that instance. But I guess we should learn never to count out Bishamon when it comes to the World Tag League Finals.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally throw everything. Honestly, the best part of the Tag League Finals at this point is getting to see their super finisher. I can't, mm-hmm. They called it Shoten Kai, or Shoto is the name of their regular tandem finisher. And the first time they hit that, they called it Shoten Kai, or Shoto Kai, and they have some bigger name for it that I can't remember now because it's Japanese and but it's a killer move and it's beautiful and yeah, the only times that they've hit it have been the Tag League Finals thus far, but three times in a row, first team to ever do that, first team to ever win the World Tag League as tag team champions. And they get to name their challengers for Wrestle Kingdom, and they named right then and there, right after. They didn't even wait till the press conference or anything. They said we want the rubber match with G.O.D. with El Fantasmo and Hikuleo, and they want it for both sets of championships. So I'm curious as to I don't think it's been specifically discussed. Is this a unification, or is this just a champion versus champion match? Because the problem is that there's not, I mean, they're not really doing a weekly show anymore.
not a unification, but it is for both titles. So the winner will leave a double champ.
Well, I was curious as if they were trying to like phase out the strong championships because they haven't had a weekly, you know, show like they started the pandemic, and they really haven't had enough consistent U.S. events to warrant having a separate set of championships.
They haven't, but they also do, right? So because right now the quarterly, I guess, shows are supposed to do that. So yeah,
I mean, unless there's different plans heading into next year, but yeah, right now it almost feels like there's unnecessarily additional championships in the whole strong brand. I mean, you have the IWGP Women's Championship, but then you also have the Strong Women's Championship. And then you have the Strong Openweight Champion, and then you have the Strong Tag Team Champions as well. So it's a little kind of confusing as to them having so much when there's not really a separate brand for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess time will tell.
Yeah.
Quite the ending for the World Tag League Finals with Bishamon winning there and then calling out the rematch. I mean, they were 40 long minutes.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at people talking about it and stuff. A lot of people say that it didn't feel like a long match, though, which is ultimately what you wanted of a long match. You don't want the fans to feel like it's long and you guys are just trying to fight for a long time and the fans to get tired. You want them to be interested and excited. And that's what it seemed like. And then, you know, a lot of people claimed it was kind of a star-making type performance for El Fantasmo as this, you know, the underdog, you know, as he kind of continued to take the punishment but kept trying to fight back and trying to hit big moves and these kind of things. You know, even after Hikaleo had been essentially destroyed, taking Shoto through the table off the apron. So he was essentially left there by himself trying to keep the match alive for his team. I mean, yeah, it was good. It was definitely a good match. Talking to another friend of mine, though, he said he felt like overall, for whatever reason, we couldn't quite pick it together. But this year's World Tag League just kind of felt a little underwhelming. There just didn't seem a whole lot of interesting stuff to keep you kind of watching from show to show sometimes.
Yeah.
And there was some, you know, but it didn't feel like it was enough like, oh, man, I got to watch every single event to know what's going on. You know, 100%. Part of that being, I think, is that they, after being so strong, so consistent with English commentary, they pretty much faltered throughout this entire event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kevin Kelly left and they had the new guy lined up. He did a couple of shows and I guess I don't know what they were planning, whether they were going to do live initially, you know, and just kind of have him do like Kevin Kelly would do sometimes, you know, live from his house. And, you know, Charlton be in Tokyo and they kind of do it together. But none of that worked out. And it seemed, you know, they said, oh, they were, you know, the new guy was going to try to lay down the track. I think Warren is his name, if I remember correctly. He's not bad. He has kind of an old school voice, which I kind of enjoy. Makes me think of Lee Marshall with the way he talks, the sound of his voice and kind of the cadence even. But he was supposed to be laying down the tracks quickly so they could link them back up. And I hadn't seen a single one with English commentary. I mean, but I would try to watch them within a day or so just to get myself try to keep up. And I never watched a single one with English commentary, and that might have helped some of the story stuff between, you know, but I mean, some of it was didn't necessarily need that, I guess, you know, Shota Umino and Ren Narita falling apart, and Narita eventually kind of betraying him and joining House of Torture.
That was big news. I mean, you know, it wasn't just long ago where they deemed, you know, they're part of like the new
Raywild Three Musketeers. But they had this animosity against each other, you know, like because it was like a professional rivalry kind of thing. But they decided to set that aside to try and work together for Tag League. And it fell apart, and it, you know, makes, and it's kind of wondering, well, you know, was this kind of a spur of the moment decision by Narita, you know, that day or the day before? Or was this a longer laid plan, like when Evil joined? You know, Evil joined House of, you know, joined Bullet Club when Dick Togo, you know, helped him win the finals of the New Japan Cup, and then he attacked Naito to try to take the double belts. You know, and then Evil came out the very next day, brand new wrestling gear with Bullet Club stuff all over it, brand new music. Like, that stuff takes time. And so, you know, the story speculation being, of course, that this was a longer time coming thing. You know, it wasn't just that day he decided to call up Dick Togo and have him come over and do all this. To make the gear, to make the music, and have all that stuff set up took longer time. So Evil's leaving LIJ to try to take down Naito was a longer form plan. Mm-hmm. Was Renda Richards the same? You know, did he go into this from the very beginning to kind of be like, okay, we'll see how it goes. If we don't start winning a lot, then maybe I'll screw him over, you know, and realize he's a loser, and I'm giving him a chance to prove himself. Or was it from the whole thing like, oh no, this guy's a loser, I'm gonna lure him in, make him think I'm his friend, and then bust him up even more, you know, try to break him mentally as much physically when I do betray him. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if they would have been able to tell that story, or maybe that's a bigger story that comes out. I assume that there'll be some kind of match between them at Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know if it'll be one-on-one, but I assume they'll be fighting at Wrestle Kingdom this year. I think they're in probably a tag match or something on the couple Road 2 shows right before Christmas. But I mean, that was big news. And then you also had, you know, the Gates of Agony, you know, seemingly briefly joining House of Torture, and then the very next day be like, no, we didn't. We just kind of tried to lure you in so we could beat you in the tag league, which ultimately didn't work. But then, you know, you had the rise of Monster Sauce and the coming together of Suzuki and Nagata. You know, to the point where by the end, it seemed maybe there was a budding friendship there. And then, you know, Suzuki still kind of left him hanging at the finals day in the big tag match. You know, the team was shaking hands, and he kind of looks, you know, Nagata looks at him to shake hands with him, and Suzuki just kind of walks off. So, I mean, that's a bigger story. I mean, they talked about that even in the, you know, online and stuff, that was essentially like a 40-year rivalry between these guys. And apparently it's not, you know, they're still not friends, but they realize they can work together. And by that last match, they seem to kind of find the winning formula to get the victories where they struggled so much throughout. I mean, so there were a couple stories, but still it didn't seem like there was, like it was really must watch. And I get, you know, as a fan, World Tag League is kind of the, it's essentially kind of the last ditch effort for some mid-card guys to find their way into a high profile match for Wrestle Kingdom. You know, of course, winning the tag league would be that, but also maybe if you beat the champions, you know, or maybe you start a rivalry with another team or something like that. Like, it's some of these guys' chance to try and get a marquee match for Wrestle Kingdom rather than just maybe being in the Rambo. So, you know, I get that you're not going to have all your top stars in it, you know, because they already have matches set. Naito is not going to be in it. Sonata's not going to be in it. You know, Okada's not going to be in it. So, but still, it just felt like there was something kind of missing this year. And we tried to figure it out. We tried to think and stuff, and you know, and just kind of like, well, I don't know. It just didn't have the importance. I mean, my friend like kind of stopped watching about a third of the way through. He's like, yeah, I'm kind of giving up on it. There's no real, it doesn't feel like there's a reason to keep watching. So I don't know yet again. I can't figure out why. But it just felt kind of, yeah, it didn't really feel like that important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all eyes are all roads, I'll say, are all into Wrestle Kingdom. You know, the tagline, you know, it has moments, it had, you know, and like I say, it had its moments outside of the tournament. But yeah, now, I mean, we're heading into Wrestle Kingdom 18. Now, I don't know if you know this, but they announced, and I'm very jelly because they didn't have this year when we went. But they've announced for this year on January 3rd a Wrestle Kingdom Fan Fest. Which
I apparently missed that news. Shit.
Yeah, it includes a free meet and greet. Of course, you pay extra to have merchandise signed.
Yeah, but it's free to get in at least. Yeah.
No. You have to pay because it's
oh, okay.
To get in because it's
yeah.
It's only like $20 or something like that. But
yeah.
You get in. It's a press conference and a meet and greet. So
okay.
Yeah, and I'm like, what could we do this year?
I know. Right. Last year, yeah, they could, because being that we would have been the thing, like we might have gotten a little extra too, you know, a little extra in there somehow.
I know. I mean, that would have made our experience even bigger. I mean, it was an amazing experience, but
yeah.
I don't know if they ever did this before, but I mean, this being a year that where they had a actual tour, you know, that you would have thought they would have like made the most of it, but no, it's crazy. Maybe one day when we eventually go back, they'll have that.
There you go.
But yeah, Fan Fest on January 3rd at the Hikusen Theater. In Tokyo.
Interesting.
You know, you'll get a little meet and greet with, you know, TVD wrestlers. And then, you know, you get the press conference. Fun event there. All the matches for Wrestle Kingdom still the same. Nothing has changed yet. So we'll talk more about it once we get closer to the day.
There's a couple of title matches on the Road 2 shows. Mm-hmm. KOPW between Taichi and Kanemaru, and the trios. United Empire is challenging for the trios. So. Based partially on the fallout of that, because basically whoever wins the KOPW in that match will essentially end the year as, you know, 2023 King of Pro Wrestling. And the whole thing starts over again with the Rambo and then goes to New Year's Dash, I'm assuming, is they'll keep the same formula to crown the provisional for the year. Since Okada is in one of the, you know, essentially the semi-main event of the show for Wrestle Kingdom, he's obviously not going to be defending the Never Sixes at Wrestle Kingdom. But, you know,
they could lose it on the road to
Possible. Yeah, it's very possible they lose it, you know, and then that frees Tanahashi and Ishii to possibly be in other matches at Wrestle Kingdom. We don't know yet.
Yeah, it's interesting that they put the two title matches in one Road 2 instead of splitting the matches between the two shows.
Usually you'd think kind of one and then the other, but Yeah,
they're stacking the December 21st show with the title matches. Okay, but the only change to Wrestle Kingdom so far is the announcement of the new championship that Ospreay,
Moxley, and Finlay will
Wrestling for the new IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship. As you noted on our group chat, Danny, you seemed a little confused about the difference between the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship and the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship.
I'm not the only one also confused by that.
I thought the globe and the world were all in one.
I mean, yeah, you know, and they mentioned, I think, during the press conference, you know, announcing that the fan, you know, I think somebody brought up, you know, hey, well, why didn't you just bring back the, you know, the Intercontinental Championship? And, you know, I think that they said something about, you know, the Intercontinental was more with the design of Asia as a whole, and, you know, they want something that represents the continued expansion of New Japan, not just through Japan and Asia and into America and into the UK and Australia, but kind of continued into as much of the world as possible. So, I mean, really, I guess it's just going to come down to positioning and importance, because, you know, there were even times when the Intercontinental was seen as a more important championship than the IWGP, you know, when the fans voted and the Intercontinental main evented Wrestle Kingdom, where the IWGP was a semi-main. You know, so I think it'll come down to how it's presented, how it's booked, you know, who the champions are, you know, and yeah, ultimately how it's treated against the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. But I don't, it's a little confused on the name there, but yeah, they kind of, world and globe are essentially, you know, one would think are fairly close to synonyms for each other, but we don't get paid to make this kind of decisions.
Yeah, it's like saying, hey, you're a person or you're a human.
I mean, that's kind of what it feels like. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, but you know, again, it's their money, it's their name, it's their whatever. That will make sense to somebody. Yeah, the world champion, the global champion. So that's gonna be interesting. I mean, that was just funny.
Yeah. The name from everything I saw, just about everybody was kind of, when they named that, everybody else was kind of like, huh, so that's what they went with, huh? Out of all the choices, that's what they decided to go with.
I don't know, everything they could have come up with. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been the IWGP 24/7 championship, you know? Fuck.
Yeah. Well, so Wrestle Kingdom, okay, we covered that. We covered the Road to shows. And I think that's okay. Japan. Okay. You shared this with us. Kushida is going to officially sign with TNA.
TNA, yeah. Kushida signed with TNA. That's I mean, I can't recall what exactly his contractual status was. You know, what he was with New Japan, but yeah, he spent a lot of time with Impact. He was, you know, I believe he was training a lot and helping kind of act as trainer at the LA Dojo, you know, there with Shibata. You know, so especially with Shibata taking more bookings for ROH, I guess Kushida was helping to keep things going while he was on the road. So yeah, I didn't know whether Kushida was fully signed with New Japan. I assumed, but it might have just been a shorter term deal. But yeah, signed with TNA. You mentioned it, great for him because they booked him very well. He hasn't been on every show. They've treated him like a star. They've pushed him to main event matches. You know, he's main evented many events and pay-per-views and stuff. You know, he's treated like a top star there. So if they're going to continue to do that, by all means, great for him. You know, he deserves somewhere that's going to, you know, treat him and treat him well. Unfortunately, his WWE stint didn't work out like we all would have hoped, but maybe he gets a new life through Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
Or TNA. Pardon me.
I mean,
it's a hard habit to break.
I think they asked him about the move, and he alluded to say, he didn't give out specifics. He says his contract with New Japan is what it is. I think they have an agreement in place where he can probably, you know, go back and forth if he liked to. It seems to me that he wants to stay in the United States.
I think that's pretty much it. He moved he moved his family and everything to the United States when he came to WWE. So I think he's, you know, his kids are probably in American schools and these kind of things. So yeah, he probably wanted to keep in the U.S., which is, I'm guessing, also why he was trying to be more based in the LA Dojo, and do more there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if he wants to, you know, and yeah, I, like you said, I assume that they will probably allow him to, you know, work New Japan shows, especially, you know, U.S. New Japan shows, and possibly go to Japan, as there's a pretty good, you know, working agreement between the companies. You know, where both sides seem to play fairly well. Who would have guessed that you can actually do that between two wrestling companies when you do a working agreement and somehow it works out for both parties? So yeah, I mean, if this is what's best for him, you know, by all means, have fun, do it, and
yeah,
you know, we'll be watching him.
And they did it, and he also indicated his relationship with the Machine Guns. Another reason why.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Impact, I mean TNA.
Staying with Shelley and Sabin, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and Kevin Knight did fairly well too with when he, you know, with his time in Impact and being there with Kushida, you know, and Uemura, you know, did his, just kind of finished up his excursion there in Impact. So yet again, it shows the strength of the relationship between the companies. You know, yeah, I think he's having fun, you know, doing a little bit of time splitters and kind of doing the trios. You know, I think they said they were Time Machine or something, is kind of the trio of the Guns and Kushida. I mean, yeah, it seems like a great move for him. I mean, definitely, you know, TNA needs, as a rebranding and all this, you want to have big stars, because I think that's the thing that a lot of their big criticism now from fans, you know, okay, I can find them, but they don't feel like they have big stars, top people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you use him and you bring in several others and you make a new top level of talent to use to bring your company back to the forefront.
Yeah. I think I think that TNA has done a good job of rebuilding the relationship with New Japan after the Okada excursion.
Well, good enough, right?
And listen, you know, they're having a special Snake Eyes, I think it was called, a show in Vegas as well. And Okada's coming back to TNA Wrestling as a one-shot for that. So
yeah, that was a fun surprise too. Yeah, because he talked about it. You know, I mean, he doesn't talk about it much, but he talked about it briefly when he was going to be defending the Never Sixers against the Impact team of the Guns and Alexander, and he was like Impact. He's like, I hate that place. And he's like, no, wait, I don't hate that place. I don't really know that place. I hate TNA. So, mm-hmm. So now it's back to TNA, and he's going back, baby.
it's kind of like that. I feel like that's like the rib, right? Like, sign with, come to Impact. Okay, he signs to come to Impact. He changed the name.
Like, we're TNA again. He's like, son of a, him and Gator were both like, son of a bitch.
I didn't even read the fine print. Okay, so, I mean, TNA Wrestling, I mean, for the little edge of the cut for what they're doing right now, I gotta say, kudos to them for rebuilding the way they have. They're doing the slow and steady,
yeah.
But you know what, they're not hurting. They're doing very well, and you know, getting somebody like Kushida's caliber, be able to retain the people they've been able to retain, and they're building stars as well while keeping, you know, some, you know, bringing other faces as well. I mean, they're obviously what the third. I mean, would you say I'm gonna exclude New Japan from the equation? Okay, I would say. I mean, Impact. I mean, TNA Wrestling is the third best company in the United States, wrestling company in the United States right now.
Some people still like to claim that ROH is a separate company, but those people are fooling themselves.
Well, actually, I do count them as a separate entity right now, but I have them at four.
Well, it's the same. It's the same as calling NXT different than WWE. It's a different brand. It's not like, you know, you're calling Raw and SmackDown different shows or different brands. Like, they're the same.
Sure. Then in that case, we're bumping Ring of Honor to number five. Because okay. I mean, I'm sorry. That's a whole other topic that I keep marking about. It's just how, you know, Tony kind of has diluted, you know, Ring of Honor. You know, it's just basically replaced.
It's there was such high hopes, and then it's it's dark elevation.
Exactly, that's all it is. It replaced the YouTube shows. And today he was talking about how he's had conversations with networks about Ring of Honor, but saying Ring of Honor is a third party. You know, it's not well within the AEW system. I'm like, I don't get it. Anyways.
I think it's just that he's trying to shop it separately and not – and networks to be like, okay, if we take Ring of Honor, we're also going to want, you know, Dynamite, or we're also going to want Rampage or something. Like, he's going to be like, no, this is separate. You get – if you pay for Ring of Honor, you're only going to get Ring of Honor. You're not going to also maybe get this show as part of a tie-in deal or something. That mm-hmm. may be the way he's trying to shop it to networks. But, yeah, it's – he can talk about it all he wants. But here's the thing. Okay, back to Impact and Little Engine That Could. At least it hasn't been reported that they will be having losses of $23 million this year.
No.
Unlike All Elite Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they had the money to lose, but yeah, darn.
At the same time, yeah. Well, it's a business. You want to be you want to make money. You don't want to lose money, let alone – such a large amount.
I mean, good for the wrestlers. The fact that Tony Khan is overpaying for some of these people.
Probably a lot of them, right? Yeah.
So I'm like, good for them. that are making that cash, but at the same time.
Yeah, get that money, but at the same time as a business as a whole. Yeah.
And if the rumors are true, and if Warner is, you know, Discovery is really, you know, playing with AEW and flirting with WWE, TKO, things won't go well. Because even if, let's just say, Warner Discovery decides to get into business with WWE and you know, kicks out AEW, right? Like, if we look back at what happened with WWE and ECW, where WWE went to TNN and then I don't even remember where ECW went. Did ECW go to the USA Network? I don't think so. I can't remember.
They were on Spike TV.
Okay.
So but isn't that, like, didn't TNN kind of became Spike TV anyway? Well, I don't know.
But my point being is that the USA Network, NBC Universal, is not going to be a willing participant in a trade-off, because they've already signed up for SmackDown. And if they're not going to pay for Raw while they already have SmackDown, they won't pay for AEW. And
they're or still Ring of Honor or something, yeah.
Yeah, they're still on the books for, excuse me, for the network, at least for another year. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, you see that, you know, WWE is in business with NBC Universal, with the CW, possibly with Warner Brothers Discovery. They're basically dividing and conquering, taking over every network. So there's no place for TK. TK might just have to buy his own network.
I mean
he can afford
it. I mean, it's possible it may come to that. Yeah.
Yeah, so okay. So back to New Japan here. It's been rumored, you know, obviously New Japan has lost Osprey, you know, as he'll be heading over to AEW in February. But now the news came up that Okada's contract is up early next year. Obviously a guy who's you know, done everything and anything in that place, and he could still rule over it for a much longer time. But
yeah,
it's the time now. And you know, does he go to AEW like everybody would expect him or hope he would, or does he surprise people and goes to WWE? You know, well, unlike,
I mean, I think ultimately he will re-sign with Japan. I think from what I've seen in interviews too, he says one of his priorities is his family, and he wants to keep them in Japan, and he wants to be with them in Japan. So okay. I doubt that he's going to sign with an American-based company. But I've heard that part of Nakamura being pushed into a back to TV feuds and these kind of things is part of the tactic to try and show Okada, hey, we're different than we've been in years past. You know, you're not going to be treated as, you know, joke comedic foreigner and floundering, you know, for a place in the company like so many others in years past, especially Japanese wrestlers. You know, if they weren't evil crazy, they were goofy, and that was pretty much those were kind of your two options. So Nakamura being kind of a more layered character and getting these kind of, you know, these TV feuds against bigger people, you know, his recent stuff with Rollins, and now it's, you know, he's working something with Cody, you know, against big stars, is supposedly a tactic to try to show Okada, hey, you know, like, we're doing this with Nakamura, we could do this with you as well. You know, I, Because even in AEW, he's just, you know, unfortunately, somebody his caliber is still also going to fall into the same trap as everybody else, I think. You know, ultimately, there's only so much room at the top. And, you know.
Yeah, I don't come in. You know,
what can they promise? There's only so much TV time, and there's already an enormous fucking roster of guys that everybody feels should be the main event of the show.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, for everything I've read, it seems I'm pretty sure confident Okada will stay with New Japan. I mean, I think most people said the same about Nakamura as well. But but Nakamura's been now with WWE for 7 years now. So anything is possible, yes, but I think the signs are that he will stay with New Japan. You know, he likes that style. That's the thing he's talked about, you know, that he's not really interested in working these shorter type television matches and these kind of things. Yet again, what you say once may be very different. What you say when things actually happen. But yeah, I mean, it is interesting. And I think they're, but I'm pretty sure by, because I think it's supposed to be the end of January or February. That's pretty much when the contracts seem to roll with people in New Japan, as that's kind of their fiscal year starts over after Wrestle Kingdom. But yeah, yet again, anything is possible. Anything can happen. Whatever. But from what I'm hearing, from what I'm seeing from him, he's perfectly happy where he's at. They just haven't negotiated a new term yet.
Yeah, it'll definitely be to see what happens if he does leave New Japan.
Yeah.
I do think that for the Bay, you know, I do think that for all the mishaps that WWE has had with Japanese wrestlers, you know, they've kept Nakamura in such a place where no matter what they do with him, whether it is comedy relief or, you know, a serious killer or a top title main eventer, people are intrigued, people are invested, people are interested. Now,
yeah.
Shinsuke Nakamura,
whatever he's doing, whenever they decide to push him to something bigger, it doesn't feel out of place. It doesn't feel like, oh, why? It doesn't feel like a gender kind of situation where the fans are all scratching their head going, why the hell are they pushing this guy? This doesn't make sense. It doesn't
matter whatever he's doing, because he's,
yeah.
The thing is that Shinsuke Nakamura is such a one of a kind special performer and character. I mean, he can just pretty much do anything and make it look good.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's why it's worked with them. You know, I do think while I obviously Okada is one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, he slightly lacks when it comes to the performance and the entertainment factor.
He's not really a performing character, which is what Nakamura is, and especially was in Japan, which is why America wanted him so much, because they felt that that kind of charisma, you know, was something they could work with and help translate to an American audience. Whereas, yeah, there may be some difference of that with Okada trying to take, you know, and how long does the Rainmaker character, quote unquote, stay fresh in the United States, you know, when everything changes so quickly, whereas Japan, you can essentially be the same type character for decades and still be just as over and still have an amazingly high position in the show, you know, but in America, everything happens at such a different pace that, you know, your character changes so frequently. You're a good guy. You're a bad guy. You're, like you said, with the different things that Nakamura has done in his time, in WWE even. And those are still just kind of subtle variations of his character. But you look at somebody, you know, like somebody like Bray Wyatt, the difference is in his character. You know, even The Miz is somebody whose character has shifted a lot over the years to different types, but it's ultimately been kind of all Miz and, at its core. So, yeah, I definitely see that. And yet again, he's you know, will that be able to translate in 5 and 6 minutes and small clips and small segments and all this for the for fans who aren't familiar with his past?
Right. Well, here's the thing, right? And this is the other case in point where you get somebody who's, you know, I wouldn't say one-dimensional, but it's like it's only been he's only been booked one way. And that is Gunther. I feel like they Vince wanted to tweak him, but then he ended up leaving, and Triple H took over again. He basically said, "You have to change nothing but your name, and you know, and just be who you've always been, right?" And
yeah,
that works. I think that somebody like an Okada, as long as Triple H has, you know, sets him up for success, which I think he would.
He's certainly going to try, strength, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that that Triple H would go the way that Vince would and try to, like, you know, turn Okada into something he's not. Just bring him as, I mean, being Okada, I mean, as much fanfare as they brought Shinsuke with, I mean,
yeah,
we're looking at Cody-esque kind of like reactions. I think you could definitely get him over, and I think it can work in this day and age. If there's ever a time for Okada to give WWE a try, it's not. But again, who knows what he wants to do? I think no matter where he lands, he will still be successful. And you know, let's just wait and see. But Okada anywhere, it's appealing. It's just depending on what he wants to do at this point in his career. And obviously, you know, TK will open up his wallet.
Because he's gonna see that fans are interested in possible matches with Okada and his guys, you know. I mean, fans are going to want to see an American, you know, Omega and Okada redo, or, you know, a long-term team with them or something, you know.
All right, here we go. Moving on, NXT Deadline, of course, it was the last premium live event for WWE. In 2023, kicking off with Dragon Lee defeating Dominik Mysterio to win the North American Championship. So Dragon Lee, a member of the SmackDown roster, came back to NXT. Of course, Wesley had to bow out of the title match as his back is injured. He'll be gone for a while. But yeah, Dragon Lee coming and stepping up and finally defeating Dominik Mysterio. So Dom Dom is beltless now, for the time being.
I mean, it had to happen eventually, right? Mm-hmm. Couldn't stay champion forever.
Yeah, Blair Davenport and Trick Williams each won their prospective Iron Survivor challenges. So now they're the number one contenders to the men and women's NXT championships. And I believe they will be cashing in those title matches at New Year's Eve, which is a special Tuesday night NXT.
Delight, yeah.
Carmelo Hayes defeated Alexis King, which thereafter Alexis King basically confirmed that Carmelo did not attack Trick Williams, or the Lexus didn't attack Trick Williams, but did thank Carmelo Hayes for the spotlight and the premium, you know, match. Kiana James defeated Roxanne Perez in a cage match, and we saw the return of Cord Jade. So she is back. She was out with an injury.
An elective surgery after mm-hmm. that.
Another person who, well, I don't know, was that his NXT debut? CM Punk, wearing a Bret Hart hoodie, came to visit NXT and Shawn Michaels. They had a little skit there. And in your main event, Ilja Dragunov defeated Baron Corbin to retain his NXT championship. So now it'll be Ilja versus Trick for the championship at New Year's Evil. What do you think? I mean, it was a pretty fun, PLE. It looked like it was a great crowd in Connecticut. Setting up a lot of things for the end of the year as NXT wraps up. A successful, I would say for them, a successful, year under the third incarnation. Is this the third incarnation of NXT or fourth or whatever?
I think they call it third, whether we do or not is up to us. But I think, I think they consider it the third version because there was the black and gold, or they called it the gold, black and gold, and then the 2.0, and now, just HBK's NXT.
I would call the first one the takeover series.
They call it the black and gold. Yeah, but I think you even go black and gold and then takeover after that because they had so much of the quote unquote black and gold before they came up with the first takeover.
Yeah.
As they transitioned from FCW into NXT. Mm-hmm. But I think they consider it the third incarnation,
Yeah. So, okay, moving on here, we had Monday Night Raw. CM Punk officially announcing that he was signing with Raw. So he'll stay on Monday nights. He got a nice little face-off
Rollins.
And officially declared himself in the Royal Rumble. I think that there's a path to the championship against Rollins, and it's going to be him winning the Rumble. I think that
really? Cody can get. You think it's that simple as him winning the Rumble?
I think so, because I think that's the only way the Rollins will give him a title shot.
If he goes through and earns it,
exactly.
Earns it the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm. Plus, we already saw Cody winning the Rumble and challenging Roman Reigns. If he is going to challenge Roman Reigns, right, and that's assuming The Rock doesn't come and say, hey, I'm taking over. Because if The Rock calls, I'm sorry, Cody, but your dream is going to have to wait till SummerSlam. Or your story is going to have to wait till the summer.
I still pretty much agree with what Eric said about Cody's dream, and his dream is winning the championship. It's not necessarily defeating Roman for the championship. So he could still, fulfill and end his story or what have you, and be further down the line and not have to take the belt from Roman.
That's what I said. Like.
Yeah,
While all the roads seem to be Cody versus Roman too, at WrestleMania, there's a lot of other potential matches that could happen.
Yeah,
especially The Rock that could prevent that, and that's okay. But I think right now, the word on the street is merchandise sales for CM Punk have already reached 6 digits in the couple of weeks that he's been back. You ride that train all the way.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So,
Until the wheels fall off.
Yeah. Hit lightning. You know, one night of a four-night, you know, buy one get one free extravaganza, as he called it, a couple of years ago. You know, why not? Let's do it. Let him win the Royal Rumble, and let him call his shot to WrestleMania. You know, Rollins is gonna hate it, but he's gonna have to do it because you know he's a fighting champion. Interesting. DIY and The Miz defeated Imperium, which is very surprising because they were in Cleveland. And if we know one thing about WWE booking, is they always book the hometown heroes to lose. And you had Gargano and The Miz, you know, winning their hometown. So, again, we're seeing things change here.
Enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
Yeah. We started this past Tuesday. We started out the NXT Breakout Tournament. Oba Femi defeated Miles Bourne. Riley Osborne defeated Keanu Carver. Apparently, Lexi King has attacked one of the other people who I can't remember their name and taken their place in the tournament. Dragon Lee successfully defeated Tyler Bate to retain his championship. One thing that just came out of of NXT is that apparently they were doing some tapings, and Dragunov landed on his head in a match against Rich Holland.
Are you trying to tell me that Rich Holland threw somebody and he landed on his fucking head? Are you kidding me? Rich Holland? No way.
And apparently Ilja had to be taken out in a stretcher.
You don't say. Rich Holland is somehow involved in somebody else landing on their dome.
So we definitely do wish Ilja a speedy recovery. Now, from some sources, apparently the injury may be at work. So I'm hoping that that's the truth, because you know the last thing we need is for Ilja to sustain a neck injury, and you know, Lord knows, you know, when people come back from that. It looked like a pretty scary situation because you know the way he landed, the way they ended the match, and everything made it look pretty serious. But there is a possibility that it all may be a work and part of the storyline. So, if it's not a storyline, it's Darn Rich Holland.
It's a very believable story if it is a work, given the past of Rich Holland dropping people on their heads and severely injuring them.
Yeah. I mean, how many wrestlers is he injured?
It was at least two. Big E, yeah. And before that, it was Gargano in NXT. Then he went up to the main roster and did it to E. And apparently, I want to say there was somebody else. Managed to, you know, it wasn't surgery requiring, but I think there was somebody else, wasn't there? Butch or Sheamus or somebody?
I think Elton Prince, I think, from Pretty Deadly got injured.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You know, Nia Jax is back, and they gave her a move that seems even more you know, the margin for error being even smaller. as far as when you just jump off and you sit on somebody. So the risk of somebody repeatedly injuring people apparently is not a big concern for them.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they flat out would have told Ridge Holland, okay, we like you, but don't do that move anymore. And that's the move that he kept doing to hurt people.
Yeah. So hopefully it's all
part of the show. Yeah. Yeah,
it's all story because we don't want anything bad to happen to the NXT champion.
So, to pretty much just about anybody, but especially somebody who's, you know, who seems to be a good worker and is trying to do their best and that kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Final battle will be this Friday. Yeah. This Friday. Garland, Texas. It'll be exclusively airing on the Honor Club. So if you have the Honor Club, then guess what? You get to watch it. If not, you'll get to watch it a lot later. So Athena will be defending the ROH Women's World Championship against Billy Starks in the main event.
For our girl Billy, that is amazing. Just turned 19 last week. And has had this fantastic story building with Athena about being her lackey and getting over with the crowd, you know, is kind of being bullied. And now she finds herself in the main event of the show. Holy crap for that.
You know, coming off a successful victory against Daniel McCabe at Actions latest show this past Friday night. To now facing Athena in the main event.
The match had already been announced, or her versus Athena had already been, you know, made official for Final Battle. I think it was just like Thursday of last week that they said it would be the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, it should be because it's the match with the longest, the longest story going, the story that has the people invested the most. And Athena's been one of the strong consistents of that brand. I mean, she just passed a year as champion. She won it at last year's Final Battle from Mercedes Martinez. She's been pretty much I would consider her kind of the bearer of that brand. Where other people have kind of come in and come out and, you know, or been in a position there and then gone to AEW TV. She's always, the whole time, she's pretty much been Ring of Honor. So it makes sense that they're in that position they're in. Still just outstanding for Billy for putting in the work to get there and Athena for also doing the work to get there, you know? Somebody who, you know, like so many others, felt like she wasn't getting the what she could have or what she would have wanted within the realm of WWE, you know, and ultimately got let go and was one of those people that the fans were very excited to, oh, let's get her out of there and give her a chance to, you know, to be who she can be and et cetera, et cetera. And she thankfully has done that and been able to do that.
Yeah. She definitely rebounded very well.
Yeah. Yeah. That pretty much is the only match that I even really care, you know, really care about on that card or even really know much about.
Well, let's run out the rest of the card and then you tell me how you feel about it. in the first ever Jay Briscoe Memorial Fight Without Honor match. FTR teams up with Mark Briscoe and will be facing the Blackpool Combat Club of Brian Danielson, John Moxley, and Claudio Castagnoli.
So is there a rivalry strong enough between these groups that warrant a fight without honor? Or is this, here's people that wish to honor Jay and were close with him personally, and are they doing it as much of an honor to him? Or is it because this is a match that warrants that kind of stipulation?
From my point of view, it's more of these are the men who wanted to pay the tribute to Jay Briscoe, and I think obviously without knowing Jay Briscoe, right, personally,
I would think
he would be okay with a fight without honor in his name. That's the kind of guy Jay would have been. And I don't see anything wrong with it, especially because, you know, they're like, these are six guys who would be like, let's just kick everything out of each other in his honor. And Jay would probably smile from above.
So it's more friends of Jay, and then they kind of whipped up a little bit of a rivalry, but it's not like something that's been going on for months that this is now the culmination to.
Exactly. Mm. But with everybody involved, it should be a really fun match. Ethan Page versus Tony Nese in an I Quit match. Don't even know how they got here, but I really don't care. Keith Lee versus Shane Taylor in a one-on-one singles match. What goes around comes around. These two facing each other, I think, first time. I don't know if they've been in the ring together since they broke up the tag team.
Lee and Taylor?
Yeah.
I feel like they had an exchange in a, I think it was right after Shane Taylor came in, and then didn't Shane Taylor get a partner to go against Lee and somebody else? But it was like a tag match or a six person tag match. So yeah, they did, but they haven't done a one-on-one.
Oh, yeah, I guess they did team up together at last year's final battle. I mean, they didn't team up. They faced each other in a tag team match
last year. Yeah.
All right. And for the vacant ROH World TV Championship, a survival...
I'm unaware of that. Oh, yeah, Joe vacated that belt,
yeah,
right?
Joe vacated to focus on AEW. Survival of the fittest match. Dalton Castle versus Commander versus Kyle Fletcher versus Lee Johnson versus Lee Moriarty versus To Be Determined.
Okay. I like if they are doing the survival of the fittest, meaning it's essentially elimination. You know, the original survival of the fittest was you each had a qualifying match to get into the main event, which was the survival of the fittest, and that's a six person, but it's elimination style. So if they're doing it elimination style, cool. Yeah, I say give it to Dalton Castle. But that's also because I'm a huge Dalton Castle fan. I felt like they haven't really done fuck all with him when they could be doing a whole lot more. But more than likely, it'll go to somebody, you know, they want, you know, an AEW person they want to elevate, you know, a Lee Moriarty, somebody of that level who they want to, you know, basically use their kids in NXT versus the old indie vets.
Yeah.
So is the to be determined somebody who's going, they're going to wait till the show, or is it just like, we got to, you know, I mean, I guess they wait till the show. There's not another
Ring of Honor
show this week, right?
No, and I don't know if they even had a AEW match, I mean, a ROH match in AEW this week. On Dynamite, maybe it could happen on Rampage like an hour before or a 0 hour.
Yeah. It may just be a debut or a return, I'm guessing.
So,
rather than like, oh yeah, we're having a match to determine the sixth person or something. I think it's more of a, you know, that, I mean, that's AEW's only real marketing tool is the announcement and then a surprise return or debut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The matches themselves don't sell. The stories don't sell. It's what could it be? What could it be? What could it be? That's what sells for them.
But that is Ring of Honor's final battle.
I will probably do like I did last year and wait until after the show has completed and decide which matches to go back and watch.
Breaking. Ring of Honor for the AAA Mega Championship.
Okay.
El Hijo de Vikingo will be defending against Black Taurus.
Okay. Yet again, should be a fucking killer match between two amazing superstars.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Taurus was still with Impact Wrestling, but I guess not.
I guess not. So, yeah. So the devil's henchman beat up what's his name? MJF last week. This week they beat up Adam Page. Any guesses on who could be the devil?
I mean, like, it's Chris Jericho, right? Like, it's gonna be somebody disappointing and everybody just goes, right? Is that gonna be the reveal?
I don't know. I'm still thinking it's gonna be Roderick, but
You think it's Roderick, really?
Mm-hmm.
You think he's been orchestrating all of this because he's pissed that they kind of left him in the dust?
Yeah. Either that or it's what's his name? Adam Cole rejoining the kingdom. So, one of those.
Interesting. Adam Cole rejoining the kingdom, basically. Because he was a founding member of the kingdom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know who else was in the kingdom? Matt Hardy. Maybe it's Matt Hardy.
Could be.
In all of his broken crazy.
Kind of crazy that he's not broken Matt right now.
But yeah, that's because they wanted to do a Hardy Boy redo. They wanted to kind of go a little OG Hardys for a little bit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I get what you're saying. That was kind of where the money was with him. But, you know, I honestly, truly think that they want to keep fans' hope alive that maybe we'll get Hardy Boys versus ENC.
Yeah. What was I going to just say right now? So, in us, okay, that's my dad. Apparently, CM Punk's first match with the Elite has been announced. It'll be at a house show in LA.
We got to make sure he's TV ready, brother. It's been a long time since he's been on wrestling television.
Yeah.
We got to make sure there's no ring rust, and he knows how to work the hard cam, and, you know, isn't going to get blown up and lose his place in spots and all these kind of things, you know? It's been a long time since that guy's actually wrestled.
Yeah. But what a match against Dom Dom.
I mean, it's a house show match, so no doubt, you know, they'll get some heat, and CM Punk will probably win and make the fan, you know, send the fans home happy, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So Leo Rush is returning to GCW.
Okay.
Apparently, he's back again. On the ECW noise. Also, Jonathan Gresham.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Has been booked for GCW. And he'll be facing off El Idolo in Chicago.
Yeah. Nice.
Somebody else making his debut and it'll be in Tampa next month. Mansoor.
Yeah, so Mansoor and Mace actually appeared together. Apparently, they're still wanting to work together as a unit. Just, I think, calling themselves MNM or MEM, I think, maybe. Maybe it's MEM.
Probably MEM, because they can do MNM. That's...
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, no, they can't do that. That's Ms. Moore, you know, that was Morrison and Melina and Nitro. But they came together as unannounced at DPW's show over the weekend. Mm. And so I'm assuming that they'll be brought back to wrestle for their tag belts. But that was – they essentially the Grizzled Young Vets were kind of brought in the same way. They were an open challenge. They answered an open challenge and wrestled a tag team. I don't think Mansoor and Mace actually wrestled. I think it was kind of after they might have run down and brawled and kind of set up something for the future. But, I mean, if they want to keep it as a unit, I think that's probably where their best bet is. You know, kind of reinvent the unit a little bit. But I think it's a little bit easier to stand out as a team and a grouping on the independent scene. Than just as an individual jumping around from place to place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's interesting. Now, on the other note, for GCW, you know, they had their collective every year, WrestleMania weekend. Philadelphia is looking like a good, like already a very promising collective. Of course, we're going to see Joey Janela's Spring Break, because what is WrestleMania weekend without Spring Break? Defy Wrestling from the West Coast will be joining the collective. Also joining the collective, DDT Pro. And so that's a big deal. An even bigger deal, TJPW is joining the collective.
Well, you get DDT. Hopefully, you get TJPW also.
So we had a great time at the TJPW show at Corken Hall earlier this year in January. Yeah. So
you're going to have even more fun being able to cheer and sing along to the music, and do all the stuff that, you know, part of the fan interaction that helps make TJPW,
right?
That, you know, we were unfortunately not allowed to do. We could clap along and that was kind of it. You know, but I think, you're going to get the full experience. You know,
and probably the more comfortable seat.
Probably so. Yeah. For wide American butts like ours. Instead of 140-pound skinny Japanese butts.
And lastly, announced
solid American butts.
Yeah, lastly announced last week, Progress Wrestling is returning to the United States. They have not been back since the Collective 2018 in New Orleans. I was on that show.
Pandemic and all. And then the company kind of had a lot of heat.
So we will. Excuse me. Chat will be there. I mean, I'm not sure yet. Depending on timing and everything, because there's a lot of things I want to see. I've been preparing. Right, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, they have good food. I can't wait to order my Philly cheesesteak with no onions and peppers, so that I can be judged.
Want steak and cheese on your cheesesteak, pretty much.
I mean, it's what's advertised. I want cheese and steak. Okay, the menu item says cheesesteak. I want cheese and I want steak. It doesn't say cheesesteak, peppers, and onions.
So when you order a hamburger, are you only wanting ham as a burger?
And
because
cheese.
That's not what you get.
Yes, I do.
But a burger. The meat in a hamburger is not ham.
Well, I don't remember calling it a hamburger.
But that is what it is specifically called. So by the same logic of it being a cheese steak and only being cheese and steak, your hamburger should only be ham.
Well, that's why I don't order a hamburger. I just order a burger.
But you just get the meat is what you're saying. You don't get any of the toppings because they're not in the name.
Not because it's not in the name, just because I don't like peppers and onions.
Okay. Okay.
I don't do it because it's in the name.
Gotcha. You made it seem that you were ordering it that way to be snarky because the name said that was what it was.
Definitely that. The last thing I am is snarky. But yeah. So The Collective should be a fun show. Things I want to do. I want to eat some hoagies, as they call them. I want to enjoy my Philly cheesesteak. So I've looked at a couple of places already that I want to track down. Of course, I want to do the Rocky Stairs. Got to do that when in Philadelphia, right? So I may not be able to catch every single wrestling show while I'm in the city of brotherly love, but it's coming to quite short. I do have tickets already to the WrestleCon Super Show because you know that's going to be wild. So everything else to be determined. But listen, we're closing out the year. We're almost. You know, and once the new year starts, all roads lead to the Royal Rumble, and then the road to WrestleMania begins. It's a crazy season right now for pro wrestling. Everybody's, you know, getting the, you know, doing what they're doing, and you know, we're in the middle of a tournament with AEW. Of course, Wrestle Kingdom's going to kick off the year fantastically well. I think we're hitting all cylinders, Danny, and It's a fun time right now to be a wrestling fan. And listen, what's all new again? Impact Wrestling is reborn. I even failed to mention they signed Trent Seven last week as well.
I honestly didn't realize he was looking to work in the United States. I thought he pretty much was kind of holding it down in the UK and that kind of thing.
Well, I think he liked the taste of the U.S. and
the women especially, perhaps.
So I mean, I think all three of them moved here. You know, they brought Bate and Seven together.
But they didn't sign them though, did they?
They did, because they were in the NXT UK brand. All three were. Remember, it was them and Pete Dunne, and then
I knew that. Yeah, I remember that much. But then, like, they didn't really bring Trent to NXT NXT they much.
They did.
Like, he came in some as a tag team with Bate, and then but I don't remember him, like, being as a solo guy.
No, they let him go before all that. After they let him go, and then that's when they started doing all the stuff with Bate and then
with Bate and Dunn club. And mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
but yeah, so that's a lot of crazy things happening this year and going into the new year. But I'm loving it all and can't wait to see how this year ends and, you know, how the new year. I hear the WWE is going to give people Christmas off. So good for them. We may end up watching a best of show for Christmas on the USA Network. So apparently after the 19th, there's nothing booked until after Christmas. So, yeah. So I think this is a great way to go ahead and shut it out. We'll be back next week. Probably go ahead and just wrap up our predictions for for Wrestle Kingdom. Get ready for anything that happens between now and then, and then try to prep for our year end show. See how we can make that happen. And man, wrestling, I love it. I love talking about it, and I think it's great. It's great that we get to enjoy it and watch it. And Danny, it's been another great year for us. You know, I mean, we started our year in a fantastic way, right? January 1st, flying to Tokyo.
Yeah.
The memories we made, and, you know, now, you know, CM Punk is home. And what else can you ask for?
Let's see what the next few weeks hold. I mean, the year ain't over yet. I mean, anything's possible in the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah. And anything is possible on FOW2. You never know who's going to pop up. We may, you know, and so who knows? We may have new surprises for the new year. But in order to find out what next could be, you need to stay tuned. Make sure you follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, and anywhere else the podcasts are. Follow us on X at FOW Radio. Danny's on X at Danny F in Danger. Meek is on X at Meek Villas. Eric's on X at EJ423X. I'm on X at Yellowman PA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.